There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. He is great because he is holy. He is great as well because he is triune, which sets our God apart from every other god of the ancient Near Eastern world or the world that we would describe today. We sang it, right? God in three persons, blessed Trinity, Trinitarian theology, one of the great tenets of our faith. The early church affirmed and clarified what we believe when we say that God is triune, that he is three in one. In AD 325, there was a council. The early church came together trying to codify and to solidify what does it mean to understand our God different from all the other gods as triune, as three in one. And they came up with what is historically now referred to as the Nicene Creed. Again, some of you may have grown up saying that every week in your church. The Nicene Creed affirms the Trinitary aspect of our God. In churches all over the world, they read these words, they recite these words often. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of God, the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. Do you see salvation history being rehearsed in this creed? For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance to the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That, by the way, is not Roman Catholic. It's Catholic like universal. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Our God is great because he is holy and because he is triune. He is the most high God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We again see this acknowledged throughout Scripture. In the book of Genesis, we get our first indication of the Trinitarian aspect of God when we're told that the Spirit hovered over the darkness and the void. We see many references throughout the Old Testament where it says that the Spirit of God came upon one person or another. When we get to the New Testament, we see the incarnation of God in Jesus, God in the flesh, from heaven to earth. We see this affirmed in Paul's letters in 2 Corinthians 13:14. He says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God is great because he is holy and because he is triune. But he is also great because, unlike any man-made God, he is eternal. You saw the words, right? Who was and is and evermore shall be. Recognizing the fact that our God always has been. People say, well, when did God come into the picture? He's always been. Well, but when did God start? He's always been. It's one of, again, the central tenets of our faith. That our God is eternal. He's not created. He just is, which makes him so great, which makes him almighty. Our hymn writer, while he echoes the words of Isaiah chapter 6, no doubt he has the words of Revelation 4:8 ringing through his mind as well. As we read these words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. So first, our hymn writer acknowledges the fact that our God is great. He is the Almighty because he is holy. But he's not just holy. He is also eternal and he is triune. So our God, according to this hymn writer, is great and he is also good. We sang that, didn't we? He's a good, good father. One of the most popular new songs on the charts today. But the second notion that our hymn writer is bringing to attention for us is that our God is good. There is none beside thee, we sing. In Luke 18, 18, Jesus says, only God is truly good. And so scripture paints a picture for us about the differences between good and not good. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Romans, there's no one good, not even one, except our God, because he is almighty, because he is good. In his goodness, we discover in Ephesians 1, 5, that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now, let's just stop for a second. Our writer is telling us that no one's an accident, that we were all created on purpose, for a purpose, to have relationship and fellowship with God, that we were made that way. Scriptures say that God has placed eternity in our hearts, meaning that we are incomplete, we are insufficient without the presence of God with us, because God decided in advance, before he even made us, before we even had a glimmer in our mother's eyes, before we took our first breath, God had already decided that he wanted to adopt us, for us to be his sons and daughters by bringing us to himself through Jesus. And look what he writes. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. I like that. Our God is good, and because he's good, that means that he and he alone is worthy of our praise. Again, we hear the words that our hymn writer penned, right? Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. You want to start your day off better? Start it off singing and declaring the good news of God. All the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Psalm 145, David acknowledges that great is the Lord. He is most worthy, not just worthy, he is most worthy of our praise, that no one can measure his greatness. I think praise is one of the great privileges that we have as believers, because praise helps us to see God for who he is. And it helps us to see who we are in position to God. We see God as our helper and our defender and our friend. All the words that we sing when we lift high and we praise the name of God. We see him as our Lord and our Savior. We see our God as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. We see our God as tenacious. We see our God as never giving up on us. We see our God is relentlessly pursuing us because he decided in advance to adopt us and to bring us into a right relationship with him. I think praise, again, is one of the most powerful tools that we have as believers, because it helps us take our eyes off our stuff and to fix our eyes firmly on Jesus. And I don't know about you, but when I tend to get stuck in my stuff and that makes me more selfish and that makes me more like in a bad place, the more I can just take my eyes off my stuff and fix my eyes on Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews says, the author and the perfecter of our faith, then life changes. The difficulties and the detours and the problems of life, we get a different perspective on them. And I believe all that happens as we praise, as we lift high the name of our Lord. And again, we see this all throughout Scripture. The people of God are always dancing and playing music and singing because there's something that music does that nothing else can really do. And I believe it additionally helps us to see who God is and see who we are. So our hymn writer, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, what does he want us to know? He wants us to know that our God is great, that he is holy, that he is triune, that he is eternal. Our hymn writer wants us to know and celebrate that our God is good. He is so good that he is worthy of our praise, that there is none beside him. And the third thing that I believe our hymn writer does, that he rehearses and he lifts up for us so that we are clear on this, is that our God is full of grace. The words, holy, 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 merciful and mighty. Holy, merciful and mighty. Paul affirms these words in Romans 3:24 that he says, God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. Our God is full of grace. That means nothing can be added to the amount of grace that he has. He is merciful. That means there's no more additional mercy that he needs because he's got it all. And he extends that to us. That he is great, that he is good, that he is full of grace. Again, recognizing that he is tenacious, that he will do anything and everything he can short of sin so that we might receive him, that we might come to understand him, that we might fall in love with him, that we might discover him as our Lord and as our Savior. Because he's full of grace, that means he's perfect. Unlike us, unlike anyone else that ever has been, ever is, or ever will be, our God alone is perfect. Again, our hymn writer declares that, right? He says that he is perfect in power, in love, and purity, all those things that we're so imperfect at. Right? That he is perfect in this. He is perfect in his power. That means he's all powerful, recognizing that throughout history, our church has known God as being omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's all present. That he is perfect in love. And that is good news for us because we so do things that try to drive a wedge in between us and God, and we call that sin. But because he's perfect in love, it means that he will always, always offer us forgiveness, always offer to reconcile with us, will always be seeking to bring us into that right relationship with him. And he's perfect in purity. Again, it's recognizing the fact that only our God could sufficiently give himself as a sacrifice for the sins of all humanity, whoever was, ever is, or ever will be. So our God is full of grace. That means he's perfect. He is perfect in power and love. And our biblical writers, our writers like Paul in Ephesians, wants us to understand that he pens these words. He says, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Now, what is Paul attempting to do? He's attempting to paint the picture of the impossible for us. Because we can't fully understand how wide, how high, how deep his love is for us. The only way we get that picture is by seeing Jesus, God in the flesh, stepping out of heaven and stepping onto earth. That is, the Apostle Paul says, while we were yet still sinners, came and died for us so that we might be reconciled and restored into this right relationship with him. And these truths, these great tenets and doctrines of our faith are what our hymn writer is attempting to lift up for us. Because we, like the Israelites throughout history, have been so prone to forget. And so it's good for us to rehearse these truths over and over and over again. I think it's one of the great things that music does for us. It's one of the great things that the hymns of the early church have done for us. On a personal level, I can tell you, I don't know how many times, whatever the situation is in my life, do you know what I generally tend to default to? Is not really any of the new music. And I love the new music. We sing it here. I love the new music that declares the greatness and goodness and grace of God. But you know, I often find myself with these psalms and these hymns going through my mind. Holy, holy, holy. Just as I am, what we talked about last week. Amazing grace. That's a big one for me, that when life is just crazy, I just need to recognize that the grace of God is going to carry me through that. So these hymns of our faith, these vintage hymns, these songs, these promises, these reminders of who God is are good for us. Because again, they help communicate something to us that music has the power to do through God intertwined with that of transforming us and changing us and helping us to see how good he is. So God is great, God is good, and he is full of grace. And because of his majesty, because of those aspects of who he is, he alone is worthy of our praise. I want to invite Ashley and Jill to come up because we're going to sing this hymn together. And I'm just going to let you know, we're going to sing it like the church did years ago. You're going to hear an organ. Some of you are like, I've never heard an organ before. You're going to hear an organ today, electronic one, but you're going to hear an organ. Because we're going to join together in this hymn, this majestic hymn, reminding us and helping us to once again experience and to rehearse the greatness and the goodness and the grace of our God. So that we too, like the church of the past and the church of today and the church of tomorrow, can join together and declare, holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And note the exclamation marks, because this is good news for us. As we declare the greatness and the goodness and the grace of our God. Would you stand as we join together in declaring and celebrating the greatness and the goodness and the glory of our God.